The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
The FT.
Last week I filled in a form that asked me how many hours I worked each week. I stared at it blankly. It's a pretty basic question and I ought to be able to provide an answer straight off. Yet because my work sprawls across my life, and because I'm not sure what counts as work anymore, I really don't have a clue. All I can say is that I do quite a lot of it. But as quite a lot wasn't an option, in the end I wrote down 45. Later on I put the same question to a group of acquaintances, including a lawyer and a company director. They hummed and hawed for a bit, and then said that they worked more than 40. The writer said 42, the director 70, and the lawyer 65. I now find we were all talking through our hats. None of us works anything like as hard as we think we do. According to studies in the US and elsewhere, people routinely overestimate their working hours by at least 10%. When you compare how hard people say they work to diary entries, the two don't tally. In itself, that isn't terribly surprising. We're all famously useless at estimating how long we spend doing anything. Time use studies show that we wildly overestimate the amount of housework and underestimate sleep. Ask an insomniac how much she slept last night, and she'll say barely 2 hours, when it was probably closer to 5. What is unusual about the work estimates is that the longer people actually work, the more they overestimate it. Those who work 37 hours estimate that they work 40. But people who work 50 hours bump up the estimate by a whacking 25 hours and claim to work 75. The reason for this, I first thought, must be that the longer you work, the more painful each marginal hour feels. When you've already done 50 hours, the 51st feels very long indeed. Yet this doesn't tally with the fact that the people who overestimate their work most are the people who have most reason to enjoy it. Jonathan Gershney from Oxford University and John Robinson of the University of Maryland have done a study that breaks down the overestimation by profession. They found that lawyers overestimate more than paralegals, doctors overestimate more than nurses, and chief executives overestimate their hours far more than lowly part-time workers, who are more likely to underestimate. Professor Gershney thinks that there are two reasons for this. The first is to do with status. The lower you are in the pecking order, the lower the value you put on your own contribution. But if you're CEO, you rate your own work so highly that the quantity of it becomes distorted in your own mind. But it's also because work is a badge of honour. A man's worth was once measured by how much leisure he had, and then by how much money. Now that's harder to pass down to children. Your heritage is measured through your human capital, and the best measure of that is how hard you work. You could say it doesn't matter much if we all tell ourselves that we work longer than we do. Assuming the lawyer doesn't bill us on his estimated hours, it should be good news that we're not as wildly overworked as we think we are. But if the disease of overwork is at least partly in our minds, it still does matter because it has a bearing on how stressed we feel. If I believe I do a 60-hour week, I'm going to feel more frazzled than if I think I do a 40-hour one. Worse, the long hours delusions of macho workers have a bad effect on the rest of us. The more they claim to work around the clock, the more inadequate everyone else feels. To get a better idea of my own hours, last week I resolved to keep a diary, only to give up almost at once. Lying in the bath, I was thinking through the arguments for this column. Was that a bath, or was it work? And what about when I was in the office vaguely emailing and vaguely doing the grocery shopping online? So I've scrapped the diary and have simply decided to revise down the number of hours I tell myself I work. It's not 45. The quality of real, proper work is probably barely half that. But I'm telling myself this is fine. Hours, after all, may be the only measure we have of work, but they're a pretty feeble one. One of the finest writers I know never gives any outward sign of doing any work at all. I emailed him just now to ask how many hours a week he puts in. His answer didn't make me feel great either, though for different reasons. 5, he said, max.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.